All right, folks, it's that time of the week again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark Delaney Crew Wheeler, and just like to say hello to anyone out there. We're going to have a good show today. We're going to do it right. We've got, October's ending, November's right around the corner. True fall fishing weather is coming up, and we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the new Wilderness Systems Ride Series. Just got my 135 today, and it is above and beyond anything that I could ever imagine. Some pros and some cons, and we'll talk more about that later. I am all alone and unafraid tonight, so for right now, at least. Remember, folks, if you are listening in, the phone number is 714-816-4727. All right. So we're going to start with, what's going on right now. South Carolina, we'll work our way up north. South Carolina's getting a really good drum bite, from what I hear. All the websites and the people I've talked to. They're finding drum in the channels and the back river, stuff like that. The trout bite's good. The flounder are moving in. So sounds like things are really starting to pick, that fall feeding is really starting to pick up, which is always a good thing. And then moving our way north, North Carolina, they're getting in into the bigger drum that are migrating south, the big breeders. They're really a lot of them off. If you get off the beach, they're out there, along with the usual suspects, the blues and the flounder, or if you can find them. The flounder are going to be in much deeper holes because they're starting to move out, and the spotted and croaker also. But yeah, I'm definitely a good time to be down south fishing right now. Virginia and Maryland, folks, it's striper time. Striper and tog, those are the two big time species right now. Of course, you can get the blues. There are going to be some straggling sheep's head before they move out. The flounder's really good right now if you can find some really deep holes, because they're going to be sitting there waiting for the bait to come over top. The bay's cooling off nicely. It's a little warmer along the eastern shore, but I think that's going to change here with this cold weather moving through. So yeah, definitely try to get out and do some fishing. The big ones haven't really reached Virginia yet, the bay in particular. I know I've heard of one or two schools of big stripers up near Jersey right now. So that's a good sign. So we've got, the stripers are around Jersey. I know they're banging them right now off of Long Island, off of Montauk. Talked to a buddy of mine today, and he confirmed that the school showed up about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and they've been banging them out pretty good. And he said just now they're starting to die off with some false albacore and everything else. So this winter snap that's coming through right now through the Northeast, folks, you don't know. Pretty much all of upstate New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, is going to get pounded with some snow. It's already what? Yeah, the 26th of October. Yeah, they can keep that for right now. So, best of luck to them. Try to stay as warm as possible up there, folks. So, let's talk about the fishing that's going to be happening. Actually, Greg Crisp just showed up in the chat room. He just said the big ones are no longer in Massachusetts, headed south 2 or 3 weeks ago. So that would pretty much correlate with the week and a half, week ago, Montauk bite, them leaving the vineyard, heading down, stopping off at Block Island, and moving their way south. So they'll be here in about 3 to 4 weeks, and that's what I'm getting at right now, folks. But I'm going to talk specifically the bay. I don't have as much knowledge about up in Delaware and Maryland and stuff like that, but coming up in November is the time where you can get on a lot of tog, you can get on a lot of schoolie stripers, and near the end of the month of November, you can get into the big stripers. That's when they usually show up right around Thanksgiving for us, is our golden time. So let's talk about the tog. I used to catch blackfish, that's what we call them up north, from the beach. If you can believe that. He said there was a rock pile off of Shagawam Point that if I walked over there with a big chunk of squid, I'd toss that out there next to these rocks. Granted, I'd get snagged a lot, but I used to pull a blackfish out of there every time. It was, that was before I really understood what they were, and how they worked. But that was my experience with them. Up north, you can catch tog with jig heads, 1 ounce jig heads, and in 20 feet of water because the water's so cold. And that's what the tog really like. Now, let's take a step back. Down here in the bay, we really get a good tog bite starting about the end of October now until May, June timeframe, is when we get, have a steady tog action. I'm actually going to say April on because I think April's when they close the season for tog so they can breed. Here in the bay. And people always ask me, what do I need to go tog fishing? Well, you have to understand, think going offshore for grouper. Or if you've seen any TV shows where they're going out, going after grouper or wreck fish, they've got pretty stout tackle. You're not going to need anything as stout like you need for grouper, but a 6 foot, heavy action, with a excuse me, heavy rod with a fast action on it. You want to be able to see those little taps on the tip of that rod. My personal favorite is a conventional rod with a good heavy duty. Let me rephrase that: a good dragged reel. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean a reel that's got a smooth drag, heavy enough drag that I can load and spool that I can load 50-pound braid on. Okay, and I don't have to worry about it. So my choices are your smaller Abbotts, your LG series, your smaller release reels, your Shimano's, any of the round reels are what you're looking for. Along with, if you like the low profile baitcaster like I do, Shimano has the Corrado 300EJ. It's got a big power handle. It's a big reel, big low profile, and it is absolutely killer. It is one of my personal favorites. And I've actually been had some really nice luck with that reel. Along with the Cronark. It's a Cronark. It's the $89 Shimano. That's got a really good drag on it, folks. And I was very surprised to see that reel do what it does. Kayak Kevin got me turned on to that reel. So, I always have the adage, you pay for in a reel, and later you got what you pay for out of that reel. All $89 of pure fish pulling fun. So that's another idea for you. And Bass Pro has a really nice tog rod that they use for bass. It's the Bionic series. It's all carbon. And they have a 7 foot, I got it right here. It is a 7 foot bionic blade. Lure weight, 3/8 to 2 ounce. Line weight, 12 to 30 pounds. Power heavy, action fast. Folks, this will handle 5 ounces, no problem.
and leave a nice little bow on the rod with still the action of the tip that you need. You can't ask for more than that in a $100 rod. I mean, you just can't ask for more than that. So we've got the reel, got the rod. Now, rods. Let me get back to you. You're going to want a carbon rod, not a fiberglass. Carbon. Why?
You think of... I can't even think of a common fish that hits as lightly as tog will. Tog will come up, and they're bait stealers. They'll come up and they'll barely just tap at the bait sometimes. Sometimes you just barely see the line moving in the water. It's just that little key that there's just something not right. And most likely it's a tog. Or one of the other many species we have that time of year. Oyster toads, things like that. So you're going to want a very fast action. You're going to want braid. I use 50-pound braid. And it is just the bee's knees. Okay? Well, you're not going to tie the braid to the hook. Let me explain this. You're going to want some leader with several different rigs. And the main one that's used here in Virginia is a basically your basic over-under rig, a drop shot rig, which is 40-pound mono or fluoro with a dropper loop about 18 inches from where you connect the line, the leader to the main line, okay?
And then another 12 to 18 inches below the hook, or the dropper loop would be, is your weight.
So let's talk about hooks. You're going to want 2 to 3-aught. Some guys use 4, some guys use 5. Yeah, folks, they're using big hooks for these fish, okay? No circle hooks. You'll lose a lot of fish. And I'm a big circle hook guy. But here's the thing about circle hooks. You need that fish to be running away from you to make it work. And tog have such a thick, bony mouth that you need almost a 10-aught hook to be able to get into that corner of that mouth. It's just the science of it, okay? Sorry, you're not going to fit a 10-aught hook in a tog's mouth. All right, so 2 to 3-aught, very sharp J-hook, sturdy J-hook. There are some mosquito hooks out there, mosquito style, which is a real thin wire that would work too. But I kind of shy away from them because I don't want a big 24-inch tog to break my hook. That would just ruin my day. And yes, folks, they will break the hook on one of their initial runs. We'll get more on that later. So you've got the dropper loop. You've got the hook tied on there. What are you going to bait it up with? The norm for down here in Virginia in the bay and pretty much up and down the East Coast, and it goes like this. Fiddler crabs, green crabs, if you can find them, blue crabs cut up into quarters, and those are those main three. There are several others that most people don't think of. And there's one that's used a lot up in the Northeast that I don't think people down here use enough of. That's clam. Clam is an excellent tog bait. We catch a lot of tog up north when we're chunking clams for stripers. And it's one of those things, you know, because you're chumming the clams in there, and you're closing up the structure, guess what? You're going to eventually get into a tog, okay? It's just what happens sometimes. It's a great surprise at that. So we've got, you know, fiddler crabs. We've got green crabs and blue claws and clams. Another underrated bait that if you can find it is like crack. Perma crabs. Yeah, you know the crab that's in the your next door neighbor's kid's bedroom, that little thing that hides in the shell? One of those. A little tricky to get them out of the shell, but once you learn the technique, there's a couple of videos online that do a really good job on showing how to get to the hermit crab itself, and how to hook it and how to use it. Personally for me, it's way too much work to try to find these hermit crabs. I got to go to a bunch of tackle shops if they have them to begin with. And it's just a pain in my butt. And to get the size I want, you know, I can't just go to any pet store and pick them up. Plus, it kind of looks bad when my kids go, "Daddy, Daddy, the hermit crab, you know, he's going to be our pet." Sorry, son, they're not going to be your pet much longer. dinner time. But we've got a call on the line. Area code 714-598. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark, it's Greg. How you doing?
Hey, Greg. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Just working my butt off in Connecticut right now.
Nice.
So, wishing I could get out there and go fishing, but not looking good, especially with possibility of snow this weekend.
Yeah, I just saw that when I was looking at the weather reports. I was like, wow. And just talked to my aunt who lives in Stony Creek, right there by Lake George.
Yep.
And she's like, sitting there talking, all of a sudden she goes, "It's snowing." And I'm like, oh, wow. So, big surprise there. But then again, it's Adirondacks, it's the Catskills, it's the, you know, it's Canada. What can you expect?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Tog, man. Do you go after the tog up there?
I have not. It's one of those things that I've been wanting to do, and truthfully, October is normally a really good month, and where I'm at now, the rock piles along the shore in Connecticut here, along the Sound, are supposed to be really good for them.
Yeah.
I just have not had the opportunity to go out and target them specifically. And was sort of hoping this fall, but it's looking like my luck has run out as far as skipping work and going fishing. So.
Yeah. But I love going. I mean, I remember as a kid catching tog from the beach along the jetties and the you know, the rock piles and the bridge pilings from shore. I mean, it was just awesome. You know,
yeah,
sitting there with a fiddler crab or a chunk of blue crab or clam, just tearing them up. You know, nothing huge. You know, nothing under 12. You know, over 12 inches. But you know, for a 12-year-old kid, absolute blast.
Yeah,
hard fighting fish. But yeah, I love tog. Haven't caught one here in the bay yet. Unfortunately, never really had a good chance, and I'll be honest about that. But my experience in tying rigs and catching them up north is pretty much synonymous work with down here. Pretty much same technique, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, you know. Those five baits, the hermit crab, the clam, the green, the blue, and fiddler crabs are the quintessential baits that you can basically find at any time. Now, with the green crabs, if you got a big enough green crab, folks, cut them in half. It'll make your life a little easier. And then how you hook any of the crabs, and of course the blue crab, you're going to want a quarter, and or break down the knuckle. All the way down, so you get each leg's a bait, is right that knuckle section, right where the leg comes into the body. Stick your hook right through there and through any meat and stuff you can, Make sure the tip of that hook point is exposed. Okay? So you got the bait all rigged up. Clam, you're looking at any way you keep the clam on there. A big snotty mess. Okay? Is key there. And the hermit crab, basically, from where the toe would be, on the very bottom of the once you pull out a hermit crab and you look at it, you're like, oh, that's a toe. It's a big meaty section. Right through there, and then you lace it right back through, right behind the where the head would be, and drop them down and wait. But we'll get to that in a minute. Now, weights, okay? And there's an old adage. If you're not getting hung up and losing rigs while you're tog fishing, you're doing it wrong, okay? I agree to disagree with this. I have found that, yes, you need to drop that bait into a hole where the tog are. Tog love structure. They love sitting in structure. They don't like to move out of the structure, okay, because a lot of fish like to eat tog. And that's something they learn from a very early age. The key is using smart weights. What do I mean by that? If you can find them, the banana weights, banana trolling weights, work great for dropping inside the holes and rocks and wrecks. So they'll slide in, and they can slide right back out. And you can jiggle the rod tip if it gets stuck, and it can wiggle its way out. It's a great weight. A little expensive to and hard to find, but they're good. I call them cigar weights. They're like big drop shot. You know, the long ones are perfect because there's no extra bulbous piece on there for that to get stuck. If they can fit inside, they can come out. So I like to use them a lot. excuse me. You know, the old standbys, the teardrop, you're going to hang up a lot more, but they're great. Stay away from the pyramid sinkers. Pyramids, your frog tongues, are too sand. If you're going to fish in sand, you're going to use those types. The anvil style are okay. I just don't like using them. Or the bell style, I should say. They're okay, but I try to stay away from them. Because they're just hang-up kings. That's how I do it. Also, if you tie a loop on the bottom of your line, and then where your weight is, you tie on some 15-pound mono, you know, a little section, maybe 3 inches long, and tie that to the loop, you will lose the weight, but you won't lose the rig, which is key. And that's what I do a lot. Because I'll get in there and I'll find a rock, a hole, and get snagged, and I just give it enough pressure and whoop, break the lure off, or the weight off, drain up, and tie one right back on. You know, lickety-split. So let's talk about techniques and where to find tog. Tog are structure-oriented, okay? To find tog, you need to find structure. Deep structure for here in the bay, you know, anything over 20 feet is what you're basically looking for. And if you have a fish finder, you'll see some you'll see the structure, and then you see some smaller marks all around it. That's tog, okay? They'll venture out maybe 10, 15 feet from the, or not even that far, maybe 5 to 10 feet from their structure, but they're never going to move very far unless they're moving from place to place. In either case, they're hauling butt to get that next piece of structure. Once you find that structure, you're going to want to anchor up over top of it. That's going to give you the ability to stay on a spot and or make minor adjustments. Now, here's the wild thing about tog fishing. You could be fishing in one spot, okay? Let's say you're putting that rod right over the tip of your kayak, right off the bow. Straight down, you're just jigging a little bit, all right? Trying to find that hole. They're not there. You can take that rod and move it up. Foot over and move the bait over a foot, and there will just be a hole
You drop that weight through, and that bait goes through that hole, and there the tog. It is literally, you can, 4 to 5 inches of movement can put it right in the strike zone, and you can tear them up from there. So wrecks, rocks are what you're looking for. Bridge pilings are a great structure for them, especially if they have the piling near the sand has been undercut by current, so that, you know, there's a spot for them to hide in. They're going to be in there. And it's great to know where they're doing artificial reefs, because a lot of times they'll drop cement and stuff like that and not tell anyone for a good two years. And like, oh, there's an artificial reef here, because they want to give it time to get to where it needs to be. But if you're out there and you see them, it's a good thing to go out there and mark that spot with a GPS. So that way you can go back in a month or two and your secret spot, I guess. You got that. What else? But yeah, wrecks, anything like that, you're basically going to want to put, it's not like sheep's head where you're going to drop it down the bottom, give it a couple cranks up, wait a minute or two, no hits, give it a crank up, wait, give it a crank. It's nothing like that. You're going to put this thing on the bottom, okay? And you're going to want to keep that line taut, okay? It's still on the bottom. You're not flounder fish. You don't need to move it. Just hold it still, okay? And have one hand on the butt, one hand on the top. And I'm not joking, folks. When you feel that thunk thunk, or the line starts moving weird, you're going to take that rod and you're going to push down the butt, lift it with the other hand, and, to set the hook. Then you're going to raise the rod up and start cranking. Do not let him win. Because what he's doing is he's coming out, he ate it, he's turning and trying to head back into his little hole. Okay? See, as you set that hook, you're going to crank, because he's going to be trying to get in that hole, you're trying to get him out. That's going to be a battle. When you get a big enough tog, you'll know it. It's going to tear you up. It's going to be great. Get him up. All right. Once you get him away from the structure, it's not that bad. But he's still going to dog you a little bit. Get him up. He's going to splash around, freak out. Get him in the kayak. Get him measured up. You're going to keep him. Let's get in the thing with tog. Tog are slow growers. Takes them a while. Okay. Also, it takes tog some time to move areas. What I mean by that is there have been tagging studies out that someone's caught a tog, tagged it, dropped it back in the water. A month later, another angler came in and hooked the same tog on the same structure. Okay? That's how structure-oriented these things are, and they don't move a lot. So please, folks, if you catch a big one, excuse me, I don't have a problem with you keeping them, but let's do some common sense, okay? Now, Tog and Sheepshead and the rest of them have had some really rough times. So let's, keep what we can, go out more fishing, catch more of them if you want, but 1 or 2 tog, unless you have some other circumstances, but, if you don't eat them right away, no big deal. But please, let's try to conserve what we have through intelligent fishing. Not just to keep them to keep, you know what I mean? Also, these are one of the few fish on the East Coast. You can see what's a male and what's a female. The males look like a bull dolphin almost. Big, bulbous, nasty head. Big old knot head. That's going to be the male. Okay? You can't miss them. They're much darker than the females. The females are more
slender looking, I guess you could say, for a tog. Not a big, knotty, bulbous head. A little lighter in color. Definitely send them back. Keep the males. Keep as many males as you can legally take. I won't have a problem with that. Leave the females. Remember, folks, only one male can increase the population, if you know what I mean. So just remember to do that, okay? I think that's about it. Unfortunately, Greg dropped. He is in a hotel for work. And as he puts it, my internet sucks. So, if I missed anything, folks, please send me an email. Landingcrew@yahoo.com. Just like it sounds. So this way I can tell everyone that what I missed or what I screwed up on the next show. And I will be more than willing to do that, folks. Just send me an email to let me know. Remember, we've got two guests in the house. Remember, folks, you want to call in, go right ahead. The phone number is 714-816-4727. Next species that's prevalent this time of year, stripers. Coming up in November is when we really get into the schoolies really heavily. I love schoolies. I really do. I just think they're the bee's knees. Great for light tackle. Just like I like it. Light tackle, small lures, light drags, the whole kit and caboodle, going after them. It is truly a fun time to be out there. And there's some big officials with stripers coming up here in November. There's a standalone, what every boater does, and that's troll. Troll to your freaking arms fall off. I don't like trolling this time of year. They're way too scattered. Plus, I had much easier way to do it. I sit there trying to troll all day and catch one. When I can do this other technique I'm going to talk about here in a second, I catch a lot of them. What I mean by a lot? I'm talking catch a striper so my arms fall off a lot. And that's fishing the light line. You hear us talk about it all the time on the show. But the HRBT and the Chesapeake Baybridge Tunnel light lines. Well, it's not just those two bridges, to be exact. Any dock, any bridge are going to hold stripers. Just got to find the right light. And it's amazing. You'll come in, you'll slide in, okay, and you'll be looking in the light. Right where the light's shining down the water, and then you have the dark and light, you know, yin and yang, coming swimming through there, you'll see this big, you know, this slender body sliding through there. That's a striper, folks. He's sitting there and he's feeding on what's coming in through the current. Nose in the current, the whole kit and caboodle. And it's great because you can pick the fish you want. When they are thick, like I've been there sometimes, they are smacking tails. And it you could throw a bare hook, folks. If it has a good enough profile, they're going to eat it. Believe me, I've done it. It's amazing. Fly fishermen, if you can do a simple roll cast or take the fly rod, stick it out, and drop the fly in the water and let it drift back, you're going to hook into some great striper action, folks. And stripers will, you know, some of these stripers are going to bully you around. There are some bigger fish out there right now, too. You just got to find them. Baits and tackle. You're looking at spinning tackle for this kind of fishing in the light line. Maybe some, if the fish are deeper, you're going to go with conventional. I do. This is all me, folks. No one else has called in, so, okay. My show. Wow, there. This is my stuff, and then most of my techniques I've learned from other people, so I'm not talking all of what I do. It's also what other people do also. But spin and tackle, you're looking at maybe a 7-foot rod, medium action, okay, maybe medium heavy, with a, you know, decent fast tip, nothing too spectacular. Spool of maybe 10 to 15 pound braid. Remember, folks, I use braid on everything, even on my Wheaties in the morning. 10 to 15 pound braid with about 24 inches of 20 pound leader. Fluorocarbon leader is all you'll need. The reason I say 20 pound is because, yes, you do have the opportunity of finding a larger fish. And, ooh, Mr. Kevin Whitley is in his house in the chat room. What's going on, Kev? Good to see you on here, buddy. But what was that? Yeah, you're not looking for really heavy, but you want to be have the opportunity that if you caught a 30-inch fish, the ability to not break them off right away, to actually give yourself and the fish a fighting chance. And that's why I love the light line. Baits, folks, you're looking at anything between 2 inches to 4 inches in bait profile. Remember, they're feeding on silver sides, which are very thin, some are long bait. I use my own poured fluke style, hoagie style baits, paddle tails, curly tails, the grub style, you know, 3 or 4 inch are perfect for this time of year. You can't go wrong, okay? Now, you don't have to worry about rocks, grass, or anything else, so you can have an exposed hook. You're not going to want a jig head. Why? Because you can see the fish. You don't want to drop it below them. You want to bring it right in front of their face and just above their head. The stripers feed up, okay? Why do I say that? The whole biology, pathophysiology of the fish, okay? Anatomy. They have a very underslung, raising mouth. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that their mouth is faced up, okay? It kind of curls up so they can feed up, all right? Their eyes are higher on the head so they can look up. That is the key here, folks. So they like to look up, and that's how they feed. Now, so baits, flukes, stuff like that. I personally use a 2-aught octopus hook, okay? On a 2-inch bait, it looks really big and really clumsy, but it works. Why a 2-aught hook? Because, like I said, you have the opportunity of finding some bigger fish, and they're just strong, good hooks. I never had a problem with breaking one off. And if they eat it, it's an automatic hookup almost right away. Because they come up and they slash at it, kind of style, hit it, take off the other direction. You just hold still. Once you come tight, you just kind of give it a little snap to get it hooked in. You're rocking and rolling, folks. Fluke style baits, colors. Anything that's not going to let light go through it. Your pearl colors. I like the natural color look. So the pearl, the whites are two of my favorites. Bubblegum works really well. Other people use black, motor oil, purple. A lot of people throw the storms. Your 3 to 4 inch storms. Those are great style baits. Especially if the fish are sitting deeper and you're marking bigger fish near the bottom, throwing those storms, let them hit the bottom and bringing them in is absolutely killer. Stuff like that. Tins work great. Cast masters, the smaller cast masters. If they're really spooky and I need to give it a long cast, I'll take a little cast master, throw it on there. Give it a heave-ho and just rip it across the surface. Don't chase it down. I guarantee it. And that's an absolute blast. Really a lot of fun. And pretty much from now until the water temps hit 42 is when these stripers are going to be around. After that, either A, move out, or B, just shut off completely. So, folks, come on down and get on them. Also, coming up here very soon is the inevitable Keep the Peak Ealing action. I love this stuff, folks. I really do. It's a lot of fun. You're never alone. I think I've been out there once where I was semi-alone, meaning that I didn't have another kayaker within 30 yards of me. And sometimes, yeah, you're butting kayaks together. But that's the nature of the beast out there. But, you know, a great website to check out is kayakkevin.com. He's got a great write-up on how to eel out there. I could spend a lot of time on it, but he writes up very well and gives you the basis to go from. My suggestions, stay away from circle hooks. This too. The reason for that, that striper comes up, eats that eel, he's not going to take off right away. He's going to eat it and just kind of slowly move around. Remember, that eel's pretty damn long. Okay, he's got to get it in his gut, all the way down, so it's going to sit in his mouth for a second. Okay? And you're going to hear that zip, zip. You have about 2 to 3 seconds to grab that rod from where it is. You can read all this on kayakkevin.com. Okay? And set the hook, and you'll have it on top of his nose, you know, on the top of his mouth, in that bony section, nearly 99.9% of the time. I've only had one get deep, and that was because I fell asleep. Yeah, my fault. But it was a big 42-pound striper 2 years ago, and only one of the night, I was happy. I took him home with me. I have that ability. I have the technology. Okay? Now, eeling can be done all through the bay, out in the ocean, the whole kit and caboodle, okay? From you up in Jersey to you guys down in South Carolina. If you guys have eels and you have stripers, you can eel. You know, don't be afraid to try it. Cobia bobbers work great for floating eels, casting eels. Just don't put them on the bottom, folks. You'll lose a lot of them. You're looking for structure. Remember, stripers are structure-oriented. Okay? Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the structure. Structure is there for you. Use it. Okay? And, you know, November is always a good time to, you know, re-rig the kayak and, you know, get some cold weather gear. Speaking of cold weather gear, let's talk about wearing, you know, wear proper attire for kayaking in this colder weather. What do I mean by that? I mean, you're not going to go out there in shorts and a t-shirt, folks. That's asinine. It's cold enough now that you will get hypothermia. And you will die if you do not dress properly and have a situation. Shake my head, I'm looking right at someone, telling them that's what's going to happen, okay? So, how can you prevent this? Well, buying a pair of waders, a dry suit, things like that. Listening to previous episodes of Kayak Fishing Radio, because I know I hit this subject about 2 weeks ago, okay? But a recap. You need a cheap pair of waders that are going to be sturdy enough to last you the season. There's several companies out there. I personally own the L.L. Bean Flyweight Stocking Foot Waders, okay? Very comfortable, very thin, breathable, and for $80, you cannot go wrong for the price either. They're a little roomy, so you can put layers underneath. Okay? Speaking of layers, folks, if you wear cotton, it will hurt you this time of year. Okay? Cotton is evil. Fleece, wool, synthetic fibers that do not hold water, bring it out to the end, to out away from your skin, whisk it away, and keep you dry, are what you're looking for, i.e., Under Armour. You know, good wool
You know, if you're allergic to wool, use fleece, long johns. I have a couple of lumberjack style onesies, I guess, is what I call them. I call them the onesies with the butt pouch. They work great. I have no issues with them. Very comfortable. But you know, when I'm on the water, I'm wearing my Under Armour base layer cold weather gear. They keep me warm, and they allow me a lot of movement, which is key. Folks, don't buy a bunch of stuff so you look like the kid from Christmas Story. You don't want that. You want to be able to move. You want to be able to you know, work hard but not sweat too bad because you're frying. Okay? If it's really, really cold, like it's going to be here in December and January and February, more on that later, I'll put on a second layer of underlayers, I guess you could say. And that's going to be my weighty sweatpants, which are fleece. Okay, you can't miss those things. They got little stirrups on them to keep them from riding up your leg. Okay, and I'm going to throw on a fleece sweatshirt, one of those zip-up nice ones. That's going to keep me nice and warm. Okay, and then I'm going to put my waders on along with my dry top. You can buy a dry top or a splash top, whichever you prefer. It's not needed. A dry top's not needed. You know, a splash top will work. Like $75. Personally, go out, spend the money, and buy a good dry top. Tokotad has some. Other companies do. You will be happy that you did. In case you go in, which is a very good possibility, if it gets rough, I don't like winter fishing when I don't know the weather. Because the weather during the fall and winter can change extremely quick. Almost as fast as in the summertime with those popcorn thunderstorms. So, what you're going to look to do, a dry top of some sort, okay, just to keep the water abated. All right, a pair of waders or a full dry suit if you're going to go all the way, okay? A PFD and all the safety equipment. I go a step further this time of year. I carry extra lights. I carry extra set of clothing, i.e. fleece, sweatpants, socks, whole kit and caboodle. If I happen to go in and I get to the shoreline, I don't want to be sitting there in cold. And, you know, cold, wet clothes. We want to take that stuff off. I've got one of those little wrapped up towel thingies, the chamois style. So that way I can dry myself off. And, folks, I'm not talking like stripping off one layer. You're going to want to get straight down to your birthday suit dry, okay? You know, this is one of those moments where, you know, people will understand, you know, and straight into drier clothes. Dry clothes. I carry an extra bag, waterproof bag, all my dry clothes, one of those space blankets, solar blankets, you know, and fire creating tools. Because if I'm stuck on one of these smaller islands, or if I'm in a situation where I need to start a fire, I don't want to have the stuff to, you know, not have the stuff to do it. That's cold weather gear. That's basically November, folks. If you can get out, do some fishing, and not be hunting or watching TV, do it. Remember, the bigger stripers won't be in the bay until around Thanksgiving. Check your local reports. Listen to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. You'll know when things start happening, folks. Definitely check that out. Okay? Now, we're almost running into our hour, and I'm going to call the show. If you have any questions or anything, send me an email,
at landingcrew@yahoo.com, or come on up to the next show next Wednesday. It'll be a good time. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Halloween. I'm getting ahead of myself. So we'll go ahead and we'll start doing the shameless plugs. More on the cot on the Ride 135 next week, folks. Didn't really get into that, but Talk to Strippers kind of took up the spot. I can't say enough about Appomattox River Company, paddleva.com. Great people. The Yorktown crew of Vic and Andrea Nunnally, Andrea. Great group of people. I think the other guy was, name was Bob, Robert Bill. Sorry, I forgot your name, bud. Great group of people, great products, very knowledgeable. The way a shop like that should be. Definitely check them out, paddleva.com. Remember, folks. Yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. Go in there, folks. Check them out. Buy a hog trough if you need one. It's a great website. Every member of the kayak fishing radio team are members of Yak Angler, and you should be too. Check out yakangler.com. Irish Water Dogs. Folks, great apparel company. Great fleece and cold weather gear products. Base layers, stuff like that. Definitely check them out. Great, really cool designs. People really like that, and they always, like to know what is that Irish Water Dogs? Well, it's a kayak and outdoor company. Definitely check them out. Keen Footwear. I love my Keen Footwear. Can't get enough of them. It's just good stuff. Greg saying goodbye. All right, man. Absolute pleasure for the little bit I had you on. I understand. Computer problems. Had my own today. But, yeah, bro. Definitely catch you later. Keen Footwear, folks. Definitely check them out. You can find them at Dick's and other major sporting goods stores. Let's see here. YakDaddy.net, home of the slider. Definitely check them out. It's a pretty cool product. Great for the beginner, back, shoulder problems, stuff like that. Way of keeping everything in front of you, which is that the way it should be anyway. So definitely check out YakDaddy.net. KayakKevin.com. You haven't heard that name before, have you? great website. Great links, great how-tos, and always the ever-popular video reports and reports, just period report, written reports too. Great pictures, plus, support Kevin, buy his DVDs. The trip around the bay, the bay tour was an excellent video. Kayak Fishing the Chesapeake Bay 1 is an excellent video. Can't say enough about that website. Just a really nice setup. Definitely check out kayakkevin.com. Rob Choi, a buddy of mine, has a website also, angling-addict.com. Great website also. Great reports. Very well written. Really, really good stuff there. Really good articles. Sorry, folks. Got sidetracked. Trying to do three things at once. Did a great article about defending the Menhaden. Remember, folks, I almost forgot, Jiminy Christmas trees. We have to stand up for the Menhaden legislation. Go to manhadendefenders.org. And put, set, and they have a whole set up there to send off a pre-written letter with your name typed in there to your local senator, legislator, stuff like that, to help save our oceans. Folks, we really need to save these menhaden. Can't say that enough. Kayakbassfishing.com. Yeah, I'm jumping around, folks. Give me a minute. Bear with me. Kayakbassfishing.com. Great website. Chad does a great job with that. Along with Hook One, which is kayakfishinggear.com. So really good stuff on there. Great info. It's just all around a good set of websites for every angler to use. Fresh salt, doesn't matter. Now, I got to do this for those that, even though they didn't show up, I still told them I'd do this for them. RealKayakFishing.com. That's Dee Kaminsky's site for her guiding service. Folks, if you come down to Florida or anything like that, check her out, please. Go out fishing with this woman. You will learn so much from a very well-versed angler. She does a really good job, and I can't say enough about her. And also, congratulations, Dee. You know what I'm talking about. 12 Fathom Baits, one of Dee's sponsors. Got to give her props. Great bait company there. Not as good as mine. Really good setup there. Chuck's Kayak Adventures. That's Chuck, Redfish Chuck, the host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show on at 8 o'clock at kayakfishingradio.com. Chuck also guides really good info. The man is a redfish freak, so definitely check out with him. Fish the Mosquito Lagoon area. Best guides, you know, Greg says he's still on. Best guides I've ever fished with, bar none. Quintessential guides. Really a good job. Also, folks, there's a young boy named Logan. Check out my Facebook page. Remember, folks, my name is Mark Wheeler Jr. Can't miss me. I have a big black drum in my profile pic. It's a young boy that needs our help. He's 4 years old. His birthday's coming up in a couple weeks. He has a very degenerative heart condition. There is one doctor in the whole country up in Boston that can hopefully help him get to his fifth birthday. Folks, it's the Christmas season coming up. You don't want, the last thing you'd want is for a mother to go through losing her son. Help this kid, this family. Okay? It's close to home. I have a little boy too. So please, you know, $20, $5, whatever you can spare. Karma, folks. Karma. Check that out. Like it. Donate what you can. Okay? Let's help save this kid's life. Okay? And this family, too. Actually, I'm going to take a second here and chit-chat and actually try to find that for everyone. And, you know, broadcast that. I should have done it before, but I just thought about it now. Got that. Wilderness Systems, folks. I don't say enough about Wilderness Systems. I usually keep my distance. Here it is. It's Logan's Heart is what you're going to look for, okay? Please like this. The kid's got, you know, let's save this kid, folks. I can't see that enough. Go on to Facebook and go to Logan's Heart. And all the donations, folks, are taken care of by a legal service, so everything is legal, beagle. Don't have to worry about anything like that. They have a great explanation of what this child has, and I can't say enough, folks. Let's help this kid, please. You know, do one thing. You know, do as many things as you can to change others in a positive way. And this is one of those positive ways. You know,
a true gift at Christmas and Thanksgiving. Real true reason to give thanks. So please, folks. Remember, folks, it's Logan's Heart on Facebook.com. Definitely check that out. Like it. Donate what you can. Get this family up to Boston to get this kid better. Can't say that enough. I know Redfish Chuck's talked about it. And he was getting choked up, just like I am. Because we both have little boys. We all know that little boy that just, you know, gets right, tugs right to tug your heartstrings. You know, let us give him the ability, when he's our age, to have the same situation. Please. I think I've got everyone. I believe. I forgot you. I apologize. It's kind of hard when I'm doing this by myself, but I got through an hour. Greg helped out a little bit. Thank you again, Hammerhead. Really appreciate it, brother. Okay, folks. I'm going to call it. Remember, PFDs. Wear them. Not in your kayak. Not in your back hatch. On your body. Especially now this time of year. Wear your damn PFD. All right? Take a kid fishing, folks. Time of year where you get kids on a lot of fish. Be a lot of fun. Take a kid fishing. Wear your PFD. Have fun. Stay safe. I'll catch you on next week's show. Have a great night, everybody. See you out in the water.
Listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.